for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, December the 28th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on button pushers.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne and we thank you that you're such a mighty, holy, awesome, wonderful God. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you died at Calvary to be everything we need, Father, and even more. Father, we thank you that the life of Christ in us is our only hope of glory. We thank you, Lord, that your resurrection life has quickened our mortal body. Father, we thank you for a word from heaven. I pray that your word will go forth from our mouth and like a hammer that breaks rock, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll give every person ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand so that we can turn and be healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every word that goes forth will not be twisted by the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, this camp, Merrill, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, Linda, Sandy and every person that works in this camp, Dan and Crystal and their family, Rick in the kitchen, everything about this camp, we declare that Satan is bound. We bind and break every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place, over us, over our lives, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you that because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, we will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that you will deliver us from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day. And, Lord, 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it'll not come near us. We'll only look on with our eyes and see the recompense of the wicked because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, nor no plague will come near our dwelling. Lord, help us to daily, moment by moment, dwell in your secret place. In Jesus' name. Father, I just praise you and bless you. I just say you're wonderful, Lord. What a wonderful, mighty God you are. In Jesus' name. This is a wonderful new mic. Wasn't that a great word that Carla spoke today? Yes, it was. Wonderful. This message is on button pushers. And what is a button pusher? It's that sore place, touchy place in your life where you might be having a happy day till somebody looks at you crooked or says something to you or does something that just pushes your button and rains on your parade. Now, if you're a person that kind of suppresses your anger, you can feel it going and it stops right here. You wouldn't dare let anyone know that you were hurt or offended. But if you're an explosive person and somebody pushes your button, it's just roars like a lion out of a cage, just raging. And everyone has button pushers. In varying degrees, depending on how many idols you have. You see, these button pushers come in when we're hurt or we go through pain, pain of our childhood or pain of our life, where we let the sun go down on our anger. God says we're not to let the sun go down on our anger because we give a foothold to the enemy. So anytime you've gone to sleep at night and you haven't dealt with your anger, you are in a spiritual prison in that particular area. Now, God doesn't show you all of these things at once. But what I've learned to do is something pushes my button. I say, okay, Lord, how'd that get there? And what do I need to deal with? In fact, everything I go through, I always say, Lord, What's the lesson in this? Because the enemy cannot do anything to you that God doesn't allow. And he allows demons to come into our life to chasten us when we step out from under the secret place. If you picture God's refuge like a big umbrella, that's the highway of holiness, that's how you walk in the Spirit, that's how you live and abide under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's how you walk in the Spirit. But you step outside of that refuge, outside of God's presence, outside of his dwelling place, and that's the territory of the enemy, and that's where the arrow flies and the pestilence stalks. And that's how you get hit when you walk in rebellion. So we have to walk in submission to his lordship, and we're all a work in progress, and that's something that we'll be working on till we enter eternity. God's coming for a holy bride, a purified people.
Yeah.
He's coming for people that have, he did it all at Calvary. He's the gift, as Carla said. He's the gift. He did it all at Calvary, but he tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So when these button pushers arise, we need to find out, where in our lives did we let the sun go down our anger, and where did we turn to a false god? You know, when somebody hurts you or you're in pain, you'll do one of two things. You'll either go to God and get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected, or you'll turn to something else. And, you know, as little children, we turn to other things because we don't know that we can go to God, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so what we do is we'll turn to a promise that we made ourselves, if we don't go to God, and most of us, unfortunately, don't know to do that. But if we turn to something else, we turn to a false god, which is a promise that we make ourselves, that life's going to be different when we get out of this house. And see, the judgments we make on our parents sets in motion forces for us to keep on reaping the same thing that we judge them for. You know, the scripture says, honor your father and mother, that all may be well with you. Well, any area that our life is not going well, we can trace it back to the area where we dishonored our mother and father. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you say, well, how can I honor a parent if they're a pervert or if they're liars or if they're thieves? How can you honor that? Well, you can honor their position. And it means to forgive. It means to forgive them by sundown. I'm trying to do this on an iPad. And it really does help, because I just need I can see if I have the light underneath. I can read little tiny letters. And because I'm healed today, waiting for the manifestation of my healing,
yeah.
That really helped me today, Carla. That was so good.
You
said that. It was wonderful. It really helps us. It's a gift, and we need to receive it. And in my next message, if they let me teach again, I should have titled it, Why We Don't Get It.
Oh.
Harold Howard alluded to it about us not perceiving. Well, lately I've been saying, there's something I'm not getting. Well, God showed me, and I feel like that probably all of you, it'll help all of you.
Yeah.
Most of my messages came out of my own pain and me asking God, what do you want me to do? And so he gives me messages that change my life, and then I trust they'll change yours. But anyway, a button pusher is an area of your life where it's a sore place, a raw soreness down in your heart that doesn't seem to heal. It's a place, you know, we all have button pushers in varying degrees. Some have a few, some have a lot, depending on how you grew up, depending on the dysfunction of your family or the foundation that you had. Even if you were never wounded, you can get the wounds because of the sins of the fathers. We have a bunch of junk we were born with, and we have to work all of that out. And all of our negative emotions comes out of a wounding of our personal spirit. And I'm not talking about, you know, when we join with Christ, we become one with his spirit, becomes one with ours. But we're born with a human spirit that's born in your body. You are a person, And that is your personal spirit. So we're talking about the wounding of our personal spirits. You can't wound Christ. He already paid the price at Calvary. And so whenever I turn to an idol, I receive a root of bitterness. When I turn to God, I get healed in an area. The minute you forgive, the issue is over. Now, if you can't forgive, then that goes back to a mother-daddy issue. You know, some of you have said, are y'all hot in here or is it just me? Maybe the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. Let's see, what was I going to say before I... Does anybody know what I said?
Mother, father.
Oh, how to forgive. Yes. If you say, most of you want to forgive if you're wise. If you choose to forgive, it's not an emotion, it's a choice. But if you choose to forgive, and the next day you're still fussing at them in your head, or a month later you're going, rah, 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 I can't believe that person did this. It goes back to an unresolved issue with your mother and father. And the Lord taught me that one day when I went out to lunch with someone, and some of you have heard this, but it really was a wonderful lesson because I got in a disagreement with this person, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, but the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she reminds you, there's unresolved issues of your mother. You've got mother issues, and she's pushing your mother buttons. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I started forgiving my mother for being critical and negative, and then it was gone. And so the Lord showed me that if you can quickly forgive, it's not a mother-daddy issue. It's not a childhood issue or a generational issue. It's not even an issue. There's other times people will say, well, Jerry, forgive me for what I said yesterday. And I say, what did you say? Oh, I said this or did that. I ain't thinking of it. See, that's not an issue. But if you can't get over it, look deeper as to why you can't get over it. Luke 6:35 says that we're to look deep into the source of our problems. And it says that a good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. An evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Now that treasure is something that is stored in our heart. You could call it an unresolved childhood issue, an unresolved generational issue. Because we're born with the unresolved issues of our forefathers. And so that's something that we have to work out. I know the things that I'm believing God for healing, I know a lot of it, most of it, is generational. And so we have to deal with the generational stuff. And so we begin to store treasure in our heart from the day we're born based on the generational treasure. And I'm talking about evil treasure, good treasure. There are good things and evil things that come down through the generations. I can think of some really good things that came down through my forefathers, but I can also think of how many of them that claimed to be Christians were hypocrites. I mean, I couldn't tell you one family member that lived under that claimed to be a Christian that lived under the Lordship of Jesus. And so that's hypocritical. That's religious spirits. That's Pharisee spirits. That's a brood of vipers. How Jesus said, how can you, being evil, speak what's good? And so I'm dealing with the loss of generational stuff, and I hope you are too. And so Matthew 12 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by the fruit. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now why is that? Because your words reveal what your true heart is. That's why you're justified by your words or condemned by your words. You say, well, I didn't really mean it. Yes, you did. Because the Bible says that what's in the heart comes out the mouth.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, I was just kidding. No, you weren't. It's what's in your real heart that's going to come out no matter, at some point in time, no matter how hard you try to nail a board over your mouth, it's going to come out and reveal your true heart. Now, you know what the treasure is or the unresolved junk down in your heart is by what comes out your mouth and by what you think. Matthew 15 says, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." I just thought of something. You know what? If we had a mouth problem, we're defiled. Maybe that's where some of those unclean spirits come in. Matthew 15:19. "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slander. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." You know, by the time a child is 6 years old, the structure of his character is formed. By the time he's 10, it's set in concrete. And that's why we have to be born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new." And I've been asking people when they tell me they're believers, is it in your heart, or is it in your head, or is it in your heart? Because the devil believes until he trembles. But there has to be a time when what's up here, when you give intellectual assent to the Lord, that you're born again. That's when God changes your heart and you're a new creation in Christ. But you still have a lot of junk. And you know, God doesn't want you to allow anger in your life. He doesn't want you to allow depression. Those are demons. He does not want you to allow fear, because the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Fear is idolatry. Anger is idolatry. Depression is idolatry. What depresses you is you have this image or this thought of what you think you ought to be like, or how life you think life ought to go. And it's idolatry, and you get depressed. And it's only a transformation by God's mighty power that can change the defaults in our lives. And defaults are set, like a default on a computer is if you can type a letter and you can type, if you can change the letter style, but the minute you type another letter, it will kick it back to how the computer was set, and that sets the default. And the way you were set at the factory was how you were trained up. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So the way we were all, because parents are human and they're not perfect, there's all of us have areas of our life where we're not trained up in the way we should go. And that sets the default. However you trained up sets the default. And until you take accountability, take that to the cross, until you forgive, you keep getting kicked back into the default. Like the computer, you can be in a letter style and you can change letters. I mean, you can go into another letter and the computer will kick it back to how it was set at the factory. So we're trying to break out of all these patterns and we keep getting kicked back into the default. And so it's only a born again experience that can change that default. The minute you repent, God resets that default. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. And you know, there's not one of us that grew up on the foundations of perfect parenting. Not one of us. All of us. No matter, I had the best parents in the whole world, but they were human. And you're human and I'm human and we all make mistakes. And I'm so thankful that my son, when he was dying, when I apologized to him that I wasn't the kind of mother he could crawl up in my lap and tell me his problems, he said, "Oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how." And so we do the best we know how, because we were trained up by imperfect parents, and we don't know how, many people don't know how to be parents because they didn't have parents. So you can have a mercy on your parents that didn't have the right kind of parents, because they're just a product of their parents. And so, but we can change that. Praise the Lord. You know, to break curses, I can't can't say, Lord, forgive Granddaddy's sin, because Granddaddy's either, like Carla said, he's already gone either to heaven or hell. It's too late for him. But you, what you do is you're taking accountability. You recognize all this generational stuff coming down. It says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father. And so what's that to say about good things? Levi's father, it said his father, but that was Abraham, but that was his grandfather, I believe. And so that's how curses work. I recognize this stuff that was in the loins of my forefathers that's been on me, and I'm going to stand up in my bloodline, and I'm going to take accountability for that, because I'm going to be the one that says, hey, I recognize this, and I put it under the blood of Jesus, and it goes no further on my children. So that's how we break generational curses. In Matthew 7, it says the house built on the rock will stand.
Yeah.
You know, when the rains of the daily pressures of life beat in on us and the floodwaters of our anxieties just overwhelm us, if our house is not built on the rock Jesus, our stability crumbles. And so when we're born again, we're in a position to begin to have the foundations of our life restored, and God rebuilds those foundations and he heals the breaches. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Are we afflicted? You know, I used to didn't think I was, but I see some areas that are affliction. And when she said lame and feeble and what else she said, I thought, well, Lord, that fits me. I'm a prime candidate here for healing. And my back already feels better. Mm-hmm. I exalted myself about 3 weeks ago, and Nikki had a wonderful message at the last camp. I think it was the last one. He said, deliverance through chastisement. Mm-hmm. You know, those whippings really help.
Sure.
If you're wise.
Mm-hmm.
He had another one, feeding your demons. I really love that one too, because that's what our sin does. Our sin is devil's food. I used to read that scripture about God gives food to Leviathan, and I thought, I don't understand that. Well, now I do. That's the food. It says to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, not you. It says, then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they'll raise up the former devastations of many generations, and they'll repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many nations. You know, Jesus told the disciples, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. So he called them a city. And so when God gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, he binds up our broken heart. He rebuilds the former devastations of many generations. He heals those breaches in those areas of our life. It says, but you will be called. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you'll boast. Instead of your shame, you will have double portion. And in your humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. And in the next chapter, in 62, he says, and you will be a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. You know, every time you repent, you get more of God's glory and less of the enemy. As the Holy Spirit searches the innermost parts of our heart, then we're able to repent of that treasured garbage or those unresolved issues of the heart, which has been stuffed into our fractures and into the and we're able to. He'll rebuild our foundation with his foundation stones, and give us a renewed mind and a new renewed spirit. Now, some people have a hard time with that. With the thought that you could wound your spirit because they're thinking about it joined with Christ. But this scripture here says, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You see, as you take accountability for these things that come up, these button pushers or these wounds, then he sanctifies you wholly. And it says, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to sanctify us wholly, body, soul, and spirit. And this is what the Bible, it means when the Bible says put off the old man, put on the new, put off something and put on the new. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that you have heard him, and have been taught of him as the truth is Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You know, the Holy Spirit's a spirit of truth. And you know, some of you, because you fear man, you won't speak the truth. You just kind of stuff it. And when you do that, it makes you a bitter person. And so you have to speak the truth in love. And if you can't do that, be encouraged. God will deliver you. That's the next thing that has to go, because fear of man brings a snare. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak the truth with every man, the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Colossians 3:8. But now you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, after the manner of him that created him. The negative treasure in our heart is the land that we have to possess. It says in 1 Corinthians, you're a building, you're a house, you're a field, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this is the sanctification of the soul, which produces holiness in our life. And God says without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. In Galatians 5:19, it says if you practice some things and anger's one of them, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not a one-time anger. That's a practicing. That's a lifestyle. Are you an angry person? It says in Proverbs, an angry man abounds with transgressions because anger is leaked into idolatry. When we have the wrong treasure stored in our heart, we get our buttons pushed in situations and we'll react. Instead of responding out of the Holy Spirit in love and peace and able to talk to people in a nice way, you'll react. But when those breaches get healed, you'll be able to respond out of the Holy Spirit and not get ticked off every time somebody tries to confront you or talk to you in a nice way. When we turn from idolatry and back to the Lord, we'll respond out of the Holy Spirit. The greatest wounding to our personal spirit comes in through our fathers, and fathers can mean mothers. It means a nourisher, provider, sustainer. The word fathers means nourishing, provider, sustainer, upholder. It implies the authority figure of the home. But it can also be mothers, and it can also mean the people that raised you. Say you were raised in an orphanage. Then we have to deal with mother, father, step-parents, foster parents, step-parents. But it all goes back to the failures of mom and dad, or you wouldn't be with foster parents in a home it all goes back. You always have to deal with all of those, but mainly your own father and mother. And so to receive healing, you have to forgive. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but anger, or it means to arouse them to wrath, exasperate them, from a word denoting internal emotion, which affects the natural disposition, the temper, the character of a child, causing agitation of the soul, anger exhibited by a parent, which causes the child to become a vessel of wrath." It's like a parent provoking a child enrages the child, enrages his wrath, and then it just kind of gets stuffed down in there into the heart, and that's one of the, some of, more of the garbage that's been put down there in the heart. A person will either express his anger or he'll suppress it. And years ago, I was out in California ministering to, in a seminar, and the man that was hosting the seminar said, "Jerry, pray for me." He said, I'm just angry." Well, I prayed for him, but nothing happened. Well, about a year later, I went to Australia into a healing ministry out in Australia, and they prayed that God would unlock this man's anger. He was just locked up. And when this man's anger got unlocked, it took six people to hold him down. I mean, he threw a temper tantrum fit on the floor. But after that, that actually healed him. Because he was all locked up, and when he got all of that out, he was healed and delivered of his anger. And so, if you are a person that has suppressed anger, ask God to unlock it. You might want to have some deliverance ministers around or some safe people that would love you anyway. But locked up emotions will make you sick. It has a devastating effect upon your life. In the passage, fathers being provoked to anger, the word means to stretch forth, to stretch out, in order to touch or grasp something, to reach after or to desire something. And so if a child doesn't know he can go to God, what he'll do is he'll stretch out after an idol. If he don't go to God, he'll turn to an idol. And then and he'll stay hurt and wounded in that area that he turned to an idol. Did you know idols wound you?
Wow.
God heals you, but wherever you have an idol, you've got a sore place. And so those sore places are those button pushers, those areas of hurt, those raw sore places down in your heart that God wants to heal. In fact, you know, so many of us have had so many button pushers in our life that we just think this is the way life goes.
Yes.
It's not. It's not the normal life. God wants that healed. If that something isn't God that he turns to, would you agree that if I don't turn to God in my pain, I turn to an idol? Because
yes.
An idol is a false god, is that right?
That's right.
What are some idols? Say you grew up and not be, and you're not nurtured. Say a woman is not nurtured by her mother, not breastfed. That's one of the roots of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And then she'll marry a man because she judged her mother. She'll marry a person that's not a nurturer. And then she's bitter toward the person she lives with who doesn't nurture her. And it really goes back to a mother issue. The other day, a precious lady came to me, and she said she had she said, "My ovary feels like it's about this size, and when it hurts for me to bend over." And so she went to the doctor, and she came back, and she said, "I just spent a bunch of money, and he gave me an antibiotic, and I don't know any more than I did when I went." And I said, "It's a mother issue, because ovaries have to do with giving birth." And so I led her to forgive her mother. Her mother's an ongoing hurt. And so that's why it was just getting inflamed. And so I led her to forgive her mother. And you say I forgive mother generally, but you've got to forgive every little thing. I mean, I had great parents, and I'm still, for many years, I was constantly, when God showed me this, I was at a healing a school out in Washington, and I made a list of judgments I'd made on my mother and father. I had two or three pages of judgments, and I had a good mom and dad. Now I'm repenting of the things I did. But every place is a place where you make a judgment on your parent. Honor means you forgive them by sundown. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean you have to live with them. But you're to see that they're provided for, but not pay for their cigarettes and their alcohol and all of that. But see, they have food and shelter, and to forgive them by sundown. And so if a person's not, anyway, back to the person that I was sharing with that got healed, and then she worked for an OBGYN for so many years, and you know that a lot of the women that come to the doctor have ovarian problems. She broke soul ties with all of them. And then I had her repent of any sexual sin that she'd ever been involved in, and she was instantly healed. It went down. She said it doesn't even hurt to bend over. And to this day, she's healed.
Amen.
And so there is a spiritual root to why things happen the way they do. God has a lesson. I shared with you that God was, because I exalted myself, I had a crick in my back, and it's almost gone. It is still there. And it was really God teaching me a lesson. And I thank God for the lessons. I love His discipline. But I'm saying, oh God, have mercy, please. When I see the belt coming, I say, I repent, I repent, I repent. But He disciplines every son whom He loves. And if you don't receive His discipline, the Bible says you're a bastard. A spiritual bastard. So you have to receive His discipline and His correction. If I hadn't have repented, and there's still things that maybe I need to repent of, and I'm asking Him to show me, and He will certainly show me. But if I just say, not going to listen to it, guess what? Many people in the church never deal with their stuff, and they're spiritual bastards. Because we all have earthly fathers who disciplined us for good, that we might share God's holiness. How much more will God discipline every son whom He loves? It says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, which is to get you holified, without which no man will see God. And so just let's name some idols. Say you grow up and you're not loved. Well, a little child doesn't know spiritual principles. So he'll turn to a promise, when I grow up, I'll find somebody that loves me. We'll see, that's an idol. Or say he's not valued. Unconsciously, it may not be, it may be an outward vow, or it can be a side inward vow. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone that won't reject me. When I grow up, I'm not going to have a home like my mother and dad. Mine was, I'm not going to work all the time like my mother. I'm going to have a father knows best kind of home. Guess what? If it's a person, your idols will always turn on you. And God is not going to let you have your idols. Because He said you'll have no other God but Him. And so some of the idols, y'all can be thinking about, what are the things that push your button? Because it's connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol, because you didn't turn to God. But the good news is you don't have to keep that button pusher. The good news is you don't have to keep that sore place in your heart. So when a parent doesn't bring up his child according to the word of God, he provokes him to anger in any area that he doesn't train him up in the way he should go. And so he'll either react or he'll respond out of the Holy Spirit, depending on if he got healed. And so if a person doesn't go to God and deal with it God's way, like if he's provoked to anger, he'll receive a lot. For example, say he's rejected. He'll receive a lie, I'm just no good, I'm not worthy, and his heart will go toward an idol. That's when it's his father's provoked, it means it stretch out after something else. And so he receives a lie, and then his heart will go after an idol if he don't go to God. And most people don't know to go to God. I didn't know this. And then he remains wounded and touchy in that area until he turns to God, lays down the idol. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged, which means spiritless, disheartened, and dismayed. The New American Standard says exasperate, which means lose heart, and it means to become morose, sourness of temper, sullenness, signifying dwelling on lewd thoughts, gloomy, sullen, often accompanied by peevishness or fretfulness. Proverbs 15:13 says, a joyful, which means an undefiled heart. You see, if my heart's defiled with evil treasures, there's sadness there. And so it's a joyful is an undefiled heart, a pure heart, makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, means to carve or to fabricate, and means to worship or serve an idol. The spirit is broken, which means sad, smitten, afflicted, stricken, wounded, from a word meaning to smite or drive away. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful, undefiled heart is a good medicine, which means a cure, gives a happy healing, but a broken, wounded spirit, which means sad, smitten, and afflicted, dries up the bones. Okay, but a joyful heart is a good medicine. Any place there's defiled, evil treasure or unresolved issues in the heart, there's a sadness in those particular areas. So you see how and why that if you don't deal with those unresolved issues, eventually it'll come out in your physical body as sickness. You see how that's related? And so whenever you're seeking God for a healing, you have to go back and deal. If you don't deal with all those button pitch, those sore places, they'll come, they're buried down there, and they pop out at certain times when you get hurt or somebody touches one of those touchy areas. If you don't deal with it, it'll end up, there's a root of bitterness in every one of those places. And in every one of those places where you didn't go to God, that is the source of all negative emotions coming out of a wounded heart. I'm going to read this about bones. It says, let me go back here. It says, a joyful, which means an undefiled heart, is a good medicine. A cure gives a happy healing. But a broken, wounded spirit, which means sad, smitten, and afflicted, dries up the bones. Okay, let's hear about the bones. This is from the Reader's Digest, and I don't know what issue, when I copied it up, I got to copy the issue, but it says, bones are the source of vital constituents of blood. They are a storehouse from which the calcium in blood plasma is obtained. The pores and cavities are filled with red blood marrow. And marrow consists largely of blood corpuscles in all stages of development. About 1 million red blood cells are produced and released every second. The blood platelets, clot formation, and the white cells which protect the body against infection are formed in the marrow. The shafts of the long bones of the arms and legs are hollow and filled with yellow marrow fatty substance, and whose function is not known. And so what's this to say about bursitis, leukemia, tendonitis, the ability of the body to rebuild body strength through the blood? The relation of blood, bones, and health. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man, which means the steadfast rational of a man, mind of a man, can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit can't bear it. That means in the areas where I have a steadfast rational mind and I don't have a button pusher, I don't have a wounded place and I'm not wounded, I can bear up under pain and I can bear up under things. Like Carla was a great example of her coming out of that wreck and she wasn't rattled. You see, because she had a steadfast rational mind, was able to endure that trial. But a broken spirit couldn't handle it. They'd have fell apart out there. They'd have been crying and weeping. And not that that's bad, but that indicates, hey, we need help. God wants us to have a steadfast, rational mind that we can go through anything. And I'm telling you, like Brother Pittman says, and like Merrill says, we're in for some things ahead that we better get all this stuff worked out now. It says that if you're falling down in a land of peace, what are you going to do in the thicket of the Jordan? And so we've got to deal with those things. And so wherever I'm broken in spirit, I have a wound, and I react. So any place, you know, you don't have to show anger if you're just reacting all the time. React, react. God wants you to respond with the love of God out of the Holy Spirit and face any kind of trial, any kind of a confrontation. Some symptoms of a broken spirit is you're touchy. Yes. Have you ever been around people? You can't say nothing to them. They get mad. They get hurt.
Yes.
That is a... And, you know, you can have some wounded places, but you can just be so totally wounded. You know, we think that the skeleton of a person holds a person up, but their spirit man is what holds them up. And when the, if you just drew one of these, I used to have this on PowerPoint, but if you just drew a man, say, and then you drew another a shape of a man inside of him to represent his human spirit, if you crush that spirit man inside him, he was totally crushed, which the more times you react, the more crushed you are.
Yeah.
It's the root of back problems, because if your spirit, you think your spirit man is what holds you up. And if that's crushed and wounded, it throws you off balance and can cause back problems. So being touchy, just nobody can make you happy, just peevish, touchy, quick tempered. You can be getting mad in one area, or you can have hundreds of places. You're full of contention and strife, always fighting, warring with somebody. Can't seem to get over the hump. One minute you're on the mountaintop and the next minute you're in the pit. An inner rawness or woundness that just won't seem to heal. It's kind of like, have you ever had a bicycle when you were a kid and you knocked the hide off your heel? And then it starts scabbing over and then you knock that scab off?
Yes.
And that scab's over and you knock that off? That's the way it is. If you don't take it to the cross and deal with it God's way, disconnect from the idol, then you'll just keep getting re-injured in that area. And you know, if people in the present hurt you, they're just reflecting what your mom and dad did or didn't do, that you, unresolved mother-daddy issues. A fainting spirit, you could be having a good day, but a trial comes up and you're like a little paper airplane that you throw, it goes, quonk, takes a nosedive. That you can't go through trial, that really comes in through having a perverted image of God. You don't see God for who He really is. A continual grief and sorrow that won't go away. And you know, a lot of this can come down, I want you to know I'm not a prejudiced person. God made all of us and He loves all of us. He loves all of our skin. He says we're all beautiful. And I'm not the least bit prejudiced. But I'm telling you, a lot of wounding comes down on African Americans because of what was done in slavery.
Yeah, that's
right. Fear comes down because they were programmed to be fearful.
Right.
They were beaten. They were killed, murdered, hung up,
right.
Falsely accused, hands cut off, worked to the bone. And if your forefathers let the sun go down on their anger, those wounds come down. And that's where a lot of fear comes down on African Americans. And we need to take accountability, all of us, for, you know, if our forefathers were white and mistreated anybody, or if our forefathers were black and they mistreated anybody, guess what? That judgment comes on us.
Right.
The sins of the fathers come down to the third and fourth generation.
That's true.
Negative and cynical. No vision. God says, without vision, my people perish.
Yeah.
No, hopelessness. Mistrust,
yes.
And agreement with death, make death wishes. If you wish you were dead, you're binding yourself to a death curse. Open, and guess what? If death works in you, what's working in you? Cancer and sickness and everything else. A person's lungs may feel restricted. I used to have a girl that lived on my farm, and she had a wounded spirit, and she'd go, have you ever seen a little kid when he's crying, snubbing? Bitterness and unforgiveness. Seek comfort from other things, people. Deep-seated shame and guilt. Fall apart at the seams. And the steps to healing, first you have to recognize it. When you get your button pushed, stop right there. You see, that's the next thing God wants to deal with. Stop right there and say, okay, Lord, why did that push my button? Say somebody rejects you and you all of a sudden don't feel loved. Well, the idol is, I gotta be loved. And so what I do is, when people don't do things I think they ought to do, that I even think God wants them to do, I just say, God, if what the devil's telling me, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you cannot touch. I take my children up the mountain, and if it bring you greater glory and honor, Lord, for this to happen, this not to happen, for people to love me, for nobody to ever love me, for everybody to reject me, so be it. But devil, you're bound. You cannot. Now, if you, God says, on the other hand, you have not because you ask not. If there's not fear involved, it's not an idol. So just make your request be known to God. This is the confidence you can have toward God. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for. But if there's fear involved, worry, anxiety, do like Abraham and Isaac. Take them up the mountain and say, Lord, if it glorify you the most. You know, my grandson was fixing to go into the Marines. And I'm telling you, that's an honorable thing to want to serve your country. And I appreciated his heart to do that. But I grieved till I took him up the mountain. One day I said, Lord, if it'd bring you greater glory for him to be in the Marines, put him in the Marines. But devil, you can't put him there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Guess what? Just before he was fixing to go to training, he tore his AC whatever in his knee.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, he said, I was going to be a man. He said, it took that whipping to straighten me out. And I didn't pray he'd hurt himself, but God just totally rearranged him. He couldn't pass the Marines because of the knee. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So you just have to die to it. But after I took him up the mountain and I said, Lord, if that would bring you greater glory and honor for him to be a Marine, then let him be a Marine. The devil, you can't make him a Marine.
Amen.
And I never worried another second.
Amen.
Because that's the perfect love that casts out fear. Amen. That's saying, God, I love you so much that you know what I need, if I need it. You know if David needs it, if I need it, when to give it. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. So you have to recognize it and ask the Father in Jesus' name, ask the God to, the power of His Holy Spirit to show you how it got there, show you what happened to you in childhood or in the generations. Forgive, because if you don't forgive, you will stay tormented in every area that you do not forgive. Repent of letting the sun go down on your anger. Repent of not honoring your mother and father, which means to forgive them by sundown. Repent of your sin, your judgments against them. Forgive them if they didn't protect you or whatever. Or if someone sinned against you, repent of your wrong responses. I had a man he's taught here at Lake Hamilton. He's a wonderful godly man. I love to listen to him teach. But I said something about honoring your mother and father. And he said, well, it sounds like you're being angry. I said, no, you're taking accountability for your wrong responses. Say you were raped or you were molested or whatever. It's not your fault. But what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I did respond incorrectly by not going to you with it. So that's what you repent of. Break soul ties because you have the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with.
Yes.
And I encourage you to get the teaching on soul ties because I see more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing.
Yes.
Because through soul ties, you can carry the sicknesses, the mental problems, the diseases of whoever you have a soul tie with. I was teaching out in Michigan, and there was a lady that came, and she said, I just had surgery on someplace on her private parts. I don't know where it was. And she said, ever since then, I've been in terrible excruciating pain ever since then. And I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? And she said, yes. I said, well, between you and the Lord, I don't want to hear it, but I want you to repent of every sexual relationship you've ever had. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive them and tell me when you're through. Mm-hmm. So when she was through, I led her to repent of adultery, of fornication, broke soul ties with every person she had had sex with, and she was instantly healed of the pain. You see, through soul ties, through sexual sin, you're still carrying in their body parts and every part that was touched by them. And so one of the major roots to female problems is sexual sin. And then turn back from the idol to God, and the way I do that is take the idol up the mountain. Lord, if they glorify you the most for nobody to ever love me, so be it. Because wherever you have an idol, you have fear, anger, depression, rebellion, grief, sadness, and all of these negative emotions. Okay, so why don't you stand up and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, what pushes your buttons? You have one button that gets pushed or whatever he wants to deal with today, and tomorrow he'll show you something else until they're all gone. I've been doing this for a long time, and if something, I've pretty much been healed of my button pushers. I don't know that I have any, but I'm sure one will pop up one of these days. But I'm saying, because I've been doing this for years, I can say that there's light up ahead. You don't have to, it'll get to be less and less and less and less and less. And so if something does push my button, I say, okay, Lord, what is it that I need to deal with? What do I need to die to? God says if you give up your life, you find it. You hold on to your life, you lose it. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if you're into sexual sin right now, or you're into any sin, any secret sin, get it right, because it's going to be too late in the thicket of the Jordan when the One World Order wants to hold you to taking a mark or whatever they want to do, because you'll cave in. And if you take the mark willingly, you'll not go to heaven. So you're going to have the strength to face a firing squad or whatever. Nobody wants that. But we have to get our lives right now so that we can be forerunners in these last days. And I love the scripture that says the wicked bow down at my gates. The wicked bow down at the gates of the righteous. When foreigners hear my voice, they obey me and they come trembling out of their fortresses. Amen? Amen. And you know, we have the power. We sing that song. We have the power in Jesus' name. You have no power with sin in your life. No power. Yeah. The more sin you get rid of, the more power God gives you.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. In the name of Jesus, search my heart, O God. And I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, what pushes my button? And then just sit down when you're through, and then we'll do group deliverance. Most of these things come in childhood by parents provoking you to anger, growing up in dysfunctional families. And then if your parents were perfect parents, which no parent was perfect, you can deal with your generational wounds of your forefathers that didn't get dealt with. Lord, I ask you to forgive me that in my pain, I didn't turn to you. I turned to promises that I made myself to cope with my pain. Forgive me for making vows that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Forgive me for judging my mother and father. Lord, I truly forgive them. And thank you for letting me recognize what pushes my button is a sore place in my heart that you want to heal. And Father, in Jesus' name, show me how, who, what, and when. I forgive every person that's hurt me. I forgive anyone who's abused, molested, raped, beat, murdered, falsely accused,
touched
my forefathers, or me, in any unholy, ungodly way. I forgive them all by an act of my will. Forgive me for allowing the sun to go down on my anger. Forgive me for not honoring my mother and father. Lord, I repent of my wrong responses. I forgive my parents for everything you've shown me. Lord, I break soul ties
with every person
that has ever sinned against me or that I've ever sinned with and with my mother and father
and
my forefathers.
Lord,
I turn back from my idols
to you,
the true and living God. And Lord, like Abraham took Isaac up the mountain, I take all of my idols up the mountain. And Lord, if it would glorify you the most for me to have them or not have them, then so be it. The devil, I'm in the hands of God, and you cannot touch me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I trust you. I choose to give up my life. I've been holding on to my life. And Lord, I let go. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I recognize the wounding that's come down generationally. And I stand up in my bloodline. And I ask you to start with Adam and Eve. And let your cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground that Satan had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. In the name of Jesus, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and in Jesus' name, I sever every cord of control, linking my soul to anyone who's hurt me or my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Lord, even though I've known you, Lord, I've turned my back upon you. I turn back to you now, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to heal their broken heart. I command every demon, every wounded spirit, all spirits of a broken heart, all pain, fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, hurt, unforgiveness, torture, torment, leave now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break the yoke of slavery off of them in the name of Jesus. I break the power of unbelief, doubt, lies, lying, rebellion, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, Leviathan, Python, Jezebel. I break the power of Beelzebub. I break the power of the beast. I break the power of depression and discouragement. I break the power of every lying spirit, lies, lying, unbelief, doubt. I tear down those strongholds. The weapons of my warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. I smash down these strongholds. I tear down strongholds of unbelief and doubt, lasciviousness, licentiousness, carousing, a party spirit, idolatry, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lust, pornography. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. I break the yokes of slavery off their necks in Jesus' name. Now come under the yoke of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said for me to come to you and take your yoke upon my neck and learn from you, for you're gentle and humble, and I shall find rest for my soul, for your burden is light and my load is easy. Now, Lord, I receive your love. Lift your hands. Lord, I ask you to put your yoke, the yoke of heaven, down upon their necks. I break every yoke of fear. I break every yoke of bondage. I break yokes of addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of hurt, pain, vexation. Move in Jesus' name. Go. wounded heart in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I press them out. I banish them. I soften with oil. I command mental illness and sanity to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. Bless you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just break the power of hopelessness over every life in Jesus' name. I loose on them hope in Jesus' name. I loose on them encouragement. I loose on them the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, a spirit of repentance. Father, I loose on them an understanding of knowing how to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you that you did it all at Calvary. Lord, we thank you that when we enter heaven, we'll be absolutely perfect because of you. It's all by your grace, Lord, all by your grace. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask you, it's too early to eat, but I'll go ahead and bless the food. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for food. We thank you for plentiful food here in America. Lord, we thank you for Rick and every person that helps him in the kitchen. We thank you for this camp. We just bless this camp. Lord, we break any curses off this camp. Lord, we pray. We pray a special covering of warrior angels over this camp, over Merrill, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, all the workers here, and over all the saints all over this earth to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment satanic ritual spoken over us, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.